Did I endorse Kenneth Copeland? Am I duplicitous? Did Roderick Edwards finally catch me? Stay tuned, we'll deal with all of it today on the Theology Today Apologetic Ministries Podcast.
The Theology Today Podcast with Phil Nathan. First Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Ephesians 5:11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." And now your host, please welcome Phil Nathans.
By the way, you guys knew that was me, right? The announcer, you knew that, right? If you didn't, you have Roderick Edwards to thank for his outstanding discernment and his revelations that I have a fake pretender voice or a fake announcer voice. Ay, ay, ay. You know, I wasn't even going to respond to this latest article that Roderick wrote, penned, if you will, his I Got Phil Now article, because it's hogwash, it's a joke. But since he's begging for some more attention, I'm going to give him some. And since he's hooked up with some modern-day Pharisees, I thought we would deal with them as well. Okay, in case you have missed it, Roderick Edwards penned an article about me on the 22nd of March. He thinks he's got me. And let's get right in there and say, and let's deal with it. First quote he's made is, "Theology Today is accountable. We're accountable to the Greek Orthodox Church. Even though they don't sponsor Theology Today, they approved of it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there." And then he's got listen to audio clip, and it's linked to his site at kingdomcome.com. But yet there's no link to the original. Go figure. Roderick doesn't want you to hear the whole podcast, only that little snippet. And later on, I'm going to show you why. Now, compare this to a statement Nathans made on March 21st, 2010. "Today I preached at or near the location of Mars Hill and met the patriarch of the Eastern Orthodox Church. He wanted me to kiss his ring, and I politely told him, and blah, blah, blah." And he actually sourced that, because that area had nothing to do with him. So his readers wouldn't stumble across anything unless they were really looking, because he doesn't want them to hear what I say. And then he goes on to say, "Though we don't fault Nathans for not kissing the ring of the patriarch, we do find it alarming that Nathans says, I oppose most of what the GOC believes, but I'm on the inside doing this." And then this is the big part right here. This is the fun part. Here is the assessment. Nathans, who tries to go around acting like the big bad corrector of error, admits he attends, and in parentheses, or is a member of, a church where he opposes most of what they believe. Why? Okay, where on earth did he get that from? I am not a member of the Greek Orthodox Church. I don't preach in Greek Orthodox churches, because only priests can do that. I don't attend Greek Orthodox Church. Okay, I don't know where he got that from. It's more of his presuppositions. This is why he fell into error and became a hyperpreterist, because of his presuppositions. And he's pulled that on me. Of course I'm accountable to the Greek Orthodox Church. I'm surprised that Roderick doesn't realize that in Greece, there is no separation between church and state. Okay? It's all the same. It's all the same. There are laws on the books. In fact, I'm going to read a couple of those that I adhere to. Let me scroll down here. And this is from Section 4 of Greek Law, number 1363/38, as amended by Law number 1672/39, and it states, anyone engaging in proselytism shall be liable to imprisonment and a fine of between 1,000 and 50,000 drachmas. He shall, moreover, be subject to police supervision for a period of between 6 months and 1 year, to be fixed by the court when convicting the offender. By proselytism is meant, in particular, any direct or indirect attempt to intrude on the religious beliefs of a person of a different religious persuasion, that's called heterodoxis in Greek, with the aim of undermining those beliefs, either by any kind of inducement, or promise of an inducement, or moral support, or material assistance, or by fraudulent means, or by taking advantage of the other person's inexperience, trust, need, low intellect, or naivety. The commission of such an offense in a school or other educational establishment or philanthropic institution shall constitute a particularly aggravating circumstance. In other words, you are not to proselytize anyone. They're not allowed to proselytize you. 99.7% of all residents in Greece are members of the Greek Orthodox Church. So I'm on the inside and I'm accountable. That's why you don't see anything on my blog about the GOC or about Calvinism so much or whatever, because these people read it. All right, you don't hear much about it on my podcast because those people read it and they listen, and you can't do those things, you see, indirectly or directly. Do you understand where I'm going with this? But it's the Greek government. I'm accountable to the Greek government. If Theology Today was doing the wrong things, and I was doing the wrong things, I would not be in this country. I can assure you of that. They would have deported me by now. So, yes, they must approve, and yes, I am accountable. You see, unlike Roderick, I'm a Christian. I adhere to biblical principles. Romans 13 tells me that I must honor and respect and obey the laws of the land. You see? So, yes, I'm absolutely accountable. Absolutely accountable. And then he goes on to say, who is more genuine? A person who tells people straight out that they are still looking for a congregation to join with, of course no congregation is going to be perfect, or a man who has joined with a group he says he mostly opposes? Well, I haven't joined with a group I mostly oppose. So who's more genuine? The guy who tells you that he's accountable to his elders, and yet 3 weeks later tells everyone, I only attend church sporadically? Come on now. Come on now. Roderick's fishing again. It's a beautiful thing to watch him. And then he says here like this. He says, this is important because Nason's legitimacy is on the line. This fellow has been going around claiming he is a pastor. And now we find out the group he assembles with, he mostly opposes. Who would want a pastor like that? Unbelievable. Because, first of all, I don't assemble with people I oppose. I started my own home church 5-6 years ago. In fact, there's now 5 different Bible studies, home church, whatever you want to call them. I'm not a member of the Church of Greece or the Eastern Orthodox Church. That's Roderick's invention. That's his presupposition. That's him reading into things. He never asked. He never asked. So, who's legitimate here? Come on now. Who's the legitimate one here? God bless. This guy is something else. And then he says he's made several inquiries to GOC officials to see if they really approve of Nason's. I mean, how is it he thinks he is accountable to a group he mostly opposes? How wise is that? Okay, I'll tell you what. What about Roderick? Now, he's an American citizen, and yet he opposes Barack Obama. He's created on his blog. He's always talking about Obama. He even compares people he doesn't like to Obama. You're just like Obama. But he's still accountable to the United States government. But it's okay for him. You see, the difference is that I actually can meet some of these people. And Roderick, he can't meet Obama. He's not good. No one's going to listen to this guy. Not that they listen to me, but the point is this guy's bananas. I mean, how wise is that? So what should I do? Leave Greece? Is that what I should do, Roderick? Leave Greece? I'll tell you what, why don't you leave America? You oppose Obama? Okay, good. That's what I thought. And then he goes on to say, so, dear readers, remember what type of person you are dealing with in Nascence before you get into anything else. That's because my theology he can't touch. This is a man who unwisely claims to be accountable to a group he mostly opposes. Yeah, I'm accountable to the government. I'm surprised Roderick didn't know that there isn't a separation between church and state in Greece. He's such an expert at church history, past and present, you'd think he would know this. You know, and it's even on Wikipedia, I found out this morning when I was looking around to see why he didn't have an excuse for not knowing, since that is his main place for reference and sources. That's where he gets his real information. Yes, that's unwise for me to be brought to Greece, to open up a tennis academy, to live like a king, but still be a servant to the king. It's unbelievable. This is a man who puts himself out there as a great corrector, yet he can't even locate a congregation, which he mostly doesn't oppose, yet he derides others for trying, and even claims they have mental problems or worse, claiming they are serpents of hell. First of all, I started my own. That's well known here. That's well known in blog circles. I've talked about it before. Even he knows this. But yet, that doesn't work, you see. That doesn't fit his presuppositions. The truth doesn't really work with Roderick. And you're going to see in a little while how he's hooked up with some Pharisees, some unaccountable Pharisees, and now he's got himself a little platform, and he's gone a little further than maybe he should. But it'll go to show his character in a minute here. But in a minute, after I take my fake break. And yes, I believe that Roderick Edwards is either mentally ill or purposely deceitful. He's obviously being deceitful here. Obviously. And then he goes on to say, and you hyperpreterists, in all the years of opposition to your views, we have never claimed anything about your salvation. That is not our place. Nah, well, I'll tell you what he does. He just does it in a sneaky way, like a slippery eel. He constantly tells them they're not Christians. So if you're not Christians, you can't be saved. That's your salvation, being a Christian, right? Being a Christ follower, right? Yeah. So if you think Phil Nascence is an ally, think again. Phil Nascence is all about Phil Nascence. That's the reason the man names his podcast after himself and pretends to have an announcer, which is him, and pretends to have breaks for a 40-minute podcast and pretends to have commercials that are really plugs for his friends. All of those things are sins. How many of you didn't know that that announcer voice wasn't me? That's a big revelation there. That makes me a pretender. Ah, yes. And the fake commercial breaks? Ah, yes. That makes me a pretender. Yet Roderick said he wanted to nick that idea. I have that documented, his own words, on my site. And then he talks about why I named my podcast after myself. And he even told me that was a good idea. See, this guy, which is it? You see, that's the problem with Roderick. You never really know. If he's flattering you, there's a good chance that at some point he's going to slam you with what he's flattering you with because he doesn't mean it. He's a slippery eel. And then he says about the commercials that are really plugs for his friends. Why? Absolutely, they're plugs for my friends. They are plugs sent to me by them, because I asked them for those things. That's why I happen to approve and endorse those ministries. I can't say the same about thekingdomcome.com or Preterist News. Can't say that at all. And then he says, Nasons has been a pretender from day one, all because of these things. Yes, all these evil things like having an announcer voice or altering my voice to enhance the beginning of the show. It would be pretty stupid. And now here's your host, Phil Nasons, and then be me. Wouldn't it? Kind of contrast, you know, contrast. It's called production, Roderick. I'm sorry. Is that a sin to do that? Well, now you guys know, thanks to Roderick, that that voice was really me. Jeez, he doesn't think you all are very smart. What happened? Why the falling out? Nasons wanted to be the big man on the block, and to do it, he thinks he has to destroy anyone else. Well, that's not true at all. In fact, I wanted to be away from that bunch. Well, because of Roderick. Because he's evil, and he's dirty, and he's just not a Christian. He doesn't know a single thing about church history, past or present. He knows nothing about theology, and he knows nothing about philosophy. Nothing. Nothing. All he knows is he has presuppositions, and he likes to put words in people's mouth so he can attack them with it and tear them down. That's not an apologist. I didn't want anything to do with him, all right? Not even a little bit. The only reason that he was ever at Theology Today is to appease someone else who turned out to be not so great either. And if I wanted to be the big man in eschatology, I would just do it on my own site. On my own, like I've been doing in other things for 3 years. And I don't believe that I'm a big man at all. I'm just this lowly servant of King Jesus. That's it. That's it. I'm sorry, Roderick. Just listen to the tone of any of his podcasts. No matter the topic, they drip with smug arrogance. He isn't doing podcasts to edify people, to speak about what the Lord is doing in the lives of people. Instead, he is mostly talking about Phil Nasons, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he is going to do. And he wonders why we call him a showboat. No, I don't wonder why you call me a showboat. I could care less what you call me. What I want you to do, Mr. Edwards, is back up some of these things. Now, he knows my motives now. He knows why I do the things that I do. First of all, this is an apologetics ministry, all right? We don't really necessarily talk about what the Lord is doing in other people's lives, unless it's my own, because I'm the only one I can verify that with. On my blog roll, there are people who do those kind of things, and I endorse them. And no, Roderick, I do not endorse you. And as far as my tone, I'm smug. I have a speech impediment, all right? I have to speak this way in order to articulate my words correctly. I'm sorry. Jeez, forgive me. I was born with a defect. It reminds me of the last article that Roderick wrote for my site before I kicked him out for claiming that hyperpreterism was a bigger deal than the virgin birth and the Trinity. In other words, Roderick will deny, he thinks that denying the deity of Christ and the Trinity, the Godhead, isn't so big compared to the fighting hyperpreterism. But I remember when he talked about Rob Bell, he says, and his effeminate voice. Who cares what Rob Bell sounds like? The deal is you can't deal with his theology, so you've got to attack him. Little things. That's Roderick Edwards, my friends. That is Roderick Edwards. And that is basically wraps up his last little hit piece against me. But you know what? It gets even better. Because what he did is he played the enemy of my enemy is my friend game over at defendingandcontending.com. Unfortunately, they fell for it, and they ended up slandering me as well, and I can't wait to bring you the second half of this show. Stick around. I'll be right back after I take another one of my fake breaks that Roderick knows what I do in between all these things, or what time I start my podcast, what time I finish, because apparently he's omniscient as well. I'll be right back, and I will promise you the second half of the show will be better than the first. You're listening to the Theology Today Apologetic Ministries podcast.
Hi, this is Dee Dee Warren of the Preterist Podcast. where I discuss biblical prophecy without the hype and sensationalism found in many evangelical circles. So if you would like to learn a different, yet completely orthodox, way to view things, such as the Great Tribulation and the so-called Rapture, please have a listen. The podcast can be found on iTunes and many other podcasting directories, or can be found directly at preteristpodcast.com.
Hi, this is Glenn Peoples from Say Hello to My Little Friend, aka the Beretta Cast. Tune in to hear discussions of philosophy, theology, and even the odd bit of politics from a Christian point of view that doesn't necessarily fit in with the crowd. Search for Say Hello to My Little Friend at the iTunes Store, or check us out online, beretta-online.com.
Okay, I'm back from that fake break. This guy is too much. I'll tell you what, he's too much. There's a reason that the hyper-preterists used to refer to him, and some still do, as Godderic Waywards, because he acts like God, and the fact that he thinks he knows everything that you do, he can read your heart and mind. And the Waywards part, well, just go over to my blog and just search Roderick Edwards. Yeah. All documented, by the way. No presuppositions, no assumptions, no reading into his words, no cutting his statements off at half-mast or taking things out of context. Just the straight words from the mouth of Roderick Edwards. And I'll tell you what, the other day, I'm moderating comments at my blog, and I notice that there are a few hits from the website defendingcontending.com. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm curious. And I click the link, and who do I see? Roderick Edwards is over there, and I believe that's the first time he'd ever posted over there, and he leads with this, and apparently it is the first time. If Phil Nasons doesn't like you guys, I know you must be doing something right. I've bookmarked your site. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. See, he knows he's looking for a place where he can play his game, the run Phil down, and he knows, or he assumes that, and assumes correctly, of course, that they'll allow him to, and they did. Now, here's the reply from the Pilgrim, who is the chief rock thrower, chief anonymous rock thrower from defendingcontending.com. He says, "Dear Roderick, laugh out loud, so true, so very true. Yes, they're doing something right, and he knows it." Yeah, of course, that's cool. Hey, that's fine. You know, I've always said I don't disagree with a lot of the things that they write. I just don't like the anonymous rock throwing, because they're unaccountable, as you will see in a minute. While launching a full frontal attack on DEFCON on one of his podcasts, Philly Flash, in the same show, endorsed Word of Faith heretic Kenneth Copeland as a true Christian. You can tell a lot about a man by who he keeps as his friends and who he endorses. Welcome to DEFCON, Roderick. So, the Pilgrim claims that I endorsed Kenneth Copeland. Well, let's just hear what I had to say about Kenneth Copeland. This is in regards to a thing on Masonry and the Shriners, an article some one of these guys did. And it's, and one of the comments was, "Why is Ken Copeland a Mason? 32nd degree." Well, maybe you should ask him. But nah, this is what the poser, he had to say. He says, maybe a better question would be, why isn't Ken Copeland a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, this is this brilliance is out of the mouth of a guy who's claimed to have ministered in several hundred churches worldwide. Let me fill you guys in on a little something here. Ken Copeland is a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So is Fred Casey Price. So is Paula White. So is Joyce Meyer. So is Joel Osteen.
They are all true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. For sure. They for sure are. And the thing that, one of the things that they have above the desert poser here is they're willing to sign their name and be criticized publicly for their belief in the true Jesus. Now, their Jesus isn't exactly the same Jesus as the one in the Bible, but that doesn't mean that they don't believe in their Jesus. Especially Ken Copeland. Ken Copeland has almost $1 billion. That tells you that he does believe in his Jesus. He has a strong belief in his Lord Jesus Christ. See, his Lord Jesus Christ gives him money. His Lord Jesus Christ has blessed him beyond all belief. Blessed him beyond all belief. That's his Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when he stands before the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible, he might get a different, he might have a different opinion. He might learn something differently than what he's been, what he's believed in. And he might get a different idea of where his errors were and are. But to say that he's not a true believer is just an asinine statement. Especially coming from someone who claims to have ministered in several hundred churches. You know, we've seen claims like that before. You know, Dave Norris's website was full of that stuff. That was a ringing endorsement of Kenneth Copeland. I wish somebody would give me an endorsement like that. Not. I guess they missed the word his Jesus. And I guess they missed his Jesus isn't exactly the Jesus of the Bible. I guess they missed that. To the pilgrim's credit, of course, he later in that thread took the time to write out what I stated, and I thank him for that. That's very kind of him to do so. But still, you'd have to read into something like that to come up with an endorsement of Kenneth Copeland. That, my friends, does not make sense. On my blog roll, there's a section called Victims of the Pimps, and the only website there belongs to a lady who's mother was a victim of Kenneth Copeland. Now, how is that possible? I think her name is Christy Beach, and her mother's name was, well, I guess it doesn't matter. But the bottom line is this. I didn't endorse Kenneth Copeland. But here's something else that's puzzling. A couple things, actually. Why did it take so long for them to bring this to the public's attention? This podcast that they're talking about was published and aired on the 3rd of July, 2009. It's the 22nd of March, 2010 when he brought it up. Why did he wait so long if I was endorsing Kenneth Copeland? Why? Why didn't Roderick say something to me back in July? When the podcast first aired, he was a co-writer at Theology Today at the time. I'm sure he listened to the podcast. He talks about my podcast all the time. I'm quite certain that he listened. He absolutely knew where to find it. Why didn't they say something then? It's kind of funny, huh? And then another thing is, why haven't they addressed the nature of that section of the podcast? The topic was anonymous bloggers. That was the bottom line behind the criticism of Defending Contending. That's been my whole contention, is that they're unaccountable, anonymous rock throwers. Who's the desert pastor? Who is he? How can I libel him or slander him and hurt him financially or hurt his integrity? Who is this guy? Is that his real name? How many people out there listening know who the desert pastor is? Come on, how many? I wonder how many people in his congregation know he's the desert pastor of DEF CON. I wonder how many of them actually know. But they didn't want to touch that part. See, the thing is with these Pharisees is they don't want to deal with the reality or the purpose behind the criticism. They just want to be nitpicky. And in this case, they pulled something out of their backsides that wasn't there. That, my friends, is libel. That's libel. I didn't endorse Kenneth Copeland. Are you out of your minds? I would never endorse Kenneth Copeland. Not even if he decided to fly straight. I would never endorse Kenneth Copeland. But it's curious to me is why he waited so long to bring it up. And then the comments here get interesting. This one especially, he was asked by a man named Matthew Johnston, someone I've never heard of, and it's Roderick. Quick question. Why did the factious Phil guy call you a false teacher? Now, you guys are going to die when you hear this. Hello, Phil. Or, I'm sorry, hello all. Phil is upset because I had previously been a hyper-preterist, renounced it in 2007. Now, there he goes again, telling everybody what he used to be. And he gets on me when I say things about myself. And when I and another ex-hyperpret were working with Phil against the hyperprets, we noticed how he was trying to play both sides. So I eventually started distancing myself from Phil. This made him upset, and now I'm a target. No, that's not what happened. Right? This is a guy who came over to my site, commented on my blog posting about the virgin birth, running his hyperpreterism stuff again, changing the topic, and then he claimed that hyperpreterism was a bigger deal than the virgin birth. So he thinks that a small heresy, an internet-only heresy, known as hyperpreterism, is bigger than the denial of the virgin birth. In other words, it's okay to deny the deity of Christ as long as, or it's okay to deny the deity of Christ, but hyperpreterism is a bigger deal. A bigger deal? And then another gentleman came over to the site and informed us that Roderick had claimed that hyperpreterism was a bigger deal than someone denying the Trinity. So it's okay to deny the deity of Christ and to deny the Trinity as long as you put hyperpreterism first because that's a bigger deal. Give me a break. Okay, give me a break. He likes to reinvent history. The link is there. You'll see the fight. I told him he's just obsessed and he needed to go. And he didn't like it. He said, I don't like the way you treat Christians. In other words, I wasn't going to allow him to manipulate my site any longer with his rantings and ravings about hyperpreterism in 2,000 years of church history. Church history he knows nothing about. But that's a beautiful thing. And then he offered the link to his showboat approved by GOC garbage that we've already refuted. And he talked about my arrogance and my podcast named after myself and the fake breaks and 40-minute podcast of him merely rambling. Okay, fair enough. I have quickly learned that it is all about the brand, Phil Nasons. Quickly, eh? Nah, you didn't quickly learn anything. The bottom line is this. I quickly learned about the non-Christian Roderick Edwards and kicked him to the curb. And that's the deal there. And then you got the kiss of death over there, DEF CON. He says, thanks for the welcome. I've looked around a bit already, and so far I like what I see. He said the same thing to me, my friends. You guys are in big trouble. And then, of course, he runs and says, one more thing about Phil Nasons. The guy claims to be some sort of apologist. It seems to have some really thin skin. In the past, he has threatened to sue me, then claimed he never intended to sue me. Now, he is back to threatening to sue me. I'm not threatening to sue him again. He thinks that the spiritual bully is him? Maybe it is. Maybe he's telling us that he knows he's a spiritual bully. I'm talking about someone completely different. That person knows who he is and wrote to me and said, I'm going to stop. Because he's been tormenting me via email for quite some time now. But I suppose you knew that, eh, Roderick? Because it's all about Roderick, really. Which is it? And anyway, I'm sorry. And it says, why? Because I pointed out the duplicity in his supposed GOC-approved website. And then his claiming that he opposes most of what GOC believes. Which is it? Well, we've already covered that. So that's enough of that. And then he says, I mean, look, I have more respect for Benny Hinn at this point, who, though rightly barraged daily for his false teaching, doesn't go around threatening to sue anyone, everyone. Sheesh. No, he just threatens to shoot them with his Holy Ghost machine gun. Time to hang up the racket, Phil. You're no apologist. You don't have the endurance for it. Yeah, okay, thanks, Roderick. And thanks for bringing up my tennis again. And anyway, and then not to be outdone, his follower comes along, Brian Simmons, because they're working together, you see. And then he says, hi, Pilgrim. Do you have a source for Phil Nason's statement that Kenneth Copeland is a true Christian? I never said that either. I said he's a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, his Jesus Christ. These guys are something else, man. Something else. Something else. And then he says, and then the Pilgrim responds and he says, I've emailed you the source. I will also email anyone else this source if they so desire. Great. And unbeknownst to Roderick, I had put up some links and they kindly posted them. And then Roderick gave the same, look, he didn't even know about these links yet. And then he says this, he says, Phil did the same thing with the hyperpreterism issue. One moment he was saying they are Christians, and the next they are heretics. And now he spends more time attacking people who are actually consistently trying to combat heresy. I can't figure it out, except to conclude, the guy simply wants to be considered the expert, therefore he flip-flops to suit his needs. Looks like the same thing he did with the Copeland issue, the GOC issue, the hyperpreterist issue, and who knows how many other issues. Anyway, I'm glad I found this site. Lots of great articles here. I haven't flip-flopped on anything. This is all garbage. This is fun garbage. This is hilarious to watch how desperate Roderick is. How completely desperate. And now this is the beautiful thing. And then he finally discovers the link that I left, which basically hammered him. And they're coming over in droves, by the way. And here is the actual audio clip of Phil Nason saying that not only Kenneth Copeland is a true believer, but he says also true believers are Fred Price, Paula White, Joyce Myers, and Joel Osteen. That's Osteen, my friend. And now we're going to let you listen to the clip that Roderick posted up. Fill you guys in on a little something here. Ken Copeland is a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So is Fred Casey Price. So is Paula White. So is Joyce Meyer. So is Joel Osteen. They are all true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. For sure. They for sure are.
Wow, out of context much? He left out a very huge chunk of that little section where I qualified what I said, but that doesn't suit Roderick's needs. Now, Roderick doesn't have an excuse. He had to have listened to that in order to edit that out. He had to do that. So he's either mentally ill or purposely deceptive. Now you can choose which one you want to believe. Either way, this is who Roderick Edwards really is. You see, he will do anything or say anything or manipulate people in order for them to believe what he's saying. I don't have to do that. But now, I'll tell you what. I'll let you hear again what I really said and see if Roderick was right.
This is in regards to a thing on Masonry and the Shriners, an article some one of these guys did. And one of the comments was, why is Ken Copeland a Mason? 32nd degree. Well, maybe you should ask him. But then this is what the poser, he had to say. He says, maybe a better question would be, why isn't Ken Copeland a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, this brilliance is out of the mouth of a
guy who's claimed to have ministered in several hundred churches worldwide. Yeah. Let me fill you guys in on a little something here. Ken Copeland is a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So is Fred Casey Price. So is Paula White. So is Joyce Meyer. So is Joel Osteen. They are all true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. For sure. They for sure are. And the thing that, one of the things that they have above the Desert Poser here is they're willing to sign their name and be criticized publicly for their belief in the true Jesus. Now, their Jesus isn't exactly the same Jesus as the one in the Bible, but that doesn't mean that they don't believe in their Jesus, especially Ken Copeland. Ken Copeland has almost $1 billion. That tells you that he does believe in his Jesus. He has a strong belief in his Lord Jesus Christ. See, his Lord Jesus Christ gives him money. His Lord Jesus Christ has blessed him beyond all belief. Blessed him beyond all belief. That's his Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when he stands before the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible, he might get a different, he might have a different opinion. He might learn something differently than what he's been, what he's believed in. And he might get a different idea of where his errors were and are. But to say that he's not a true believer is just an asinine statement. Especially coming from someone who claims to have ministered in several hundred churches. You know, we've seen claims like that before. You know, Dave Norris's website was full of that stuff.
Whoops, looks like I qualified that, eh? Oh, well, nice try, Roderick. We know what you wanted to do, and now it looks like we have a clear-cut case of Roderick and his garbage influencing someone. In this thread, it says, "Oh yeah, Phil, you think all these people are true believers? You are leading people astray. Enough said." You see, right there is Roderick's garbage and the Pilgrim's misrepresentation of what I said, saying I endorse Kenneth Copeland, that can hurt me. See, I actually signed my real name to these things and not like these other guys. Now, what Roderick didn't know is that I had written to the Pilgrim. And I went with another ordained elder I copied on the email, because we were going to do this Matthew 18-wise. I informed him that he was basically being used, which he is, and that unfortunately, he had misrepresented what I said. Now, he didn't respond back privately, because quite frankly, and this is my biggest concern with these people, is that they're unaccountable. He doesn't want to be held accountable for this manipulation of what I said. Fortunately, though, he did write out what I said. And he actually knows it's Joel Osteen. And he knows how to spell Joyce Meyer's last name, too. This is good. But this is interesting. Interesting that he doesn't want to deal with the reality. We're trying to deal with him Matthew 18-wise, and he didn't want to deal with us. Instead, he went to his blog, and he said, "You emailed me to say that Edwards and Simmons are using me to libel you. You then accused me of purposely misrepresenting what you said about Copeland. You even went so far as to accuse me of promoting libel against you. You are promoting libel against me, and it's proven by this other individual believing it. You have a 20-second clip taken completely out of context. You have people on there saying that I claim that these people are true Christians. That's not true. I didn't say that. That is promoting libel. I don't care what you say." And that's why he didn't want to respond back to us privately, because he knew what was coming next. And in that email, I asked him specifically for the name of his pastor
the name of his church and the name of his denomination. And he didn't want to give us that. He just didn't want to give us that. And then he says, I'd quote you directly from your email, but since you copyrighted it, who copyrights emails anyway, I'll refrain from doing so as to not give you a litigious foothold. Lots of people copyright emails. I'm surprised you didn't know that. It's a common practice. You know, the bottom line is I send out a lot of things that are for my tenants through that email address, including a price list that's confidential, simply because some people pay a different price. It just depends. Sometimes I give scholarships away. I'm buying them off, I guess. But doesn't matter. The bottom line is, then he goes on and says, are you serious? What is your deal, Phil? You openly slander the desert pastor on your podcast from last July 5th, even calling him names and accusing him of being a liar. Now you want to take your ball and go home because Edwards and Simmons have a problem with you? I don't want to take my ball and go anywhere. You opened up the playing field, sir, when you allowed him to post, these two people to post there. I responded. And thank you for letting me respond. It's important that you know who's making the accusations. Whether you like me or not, the bottom line is I've sourced everything that I've said about these two gentlemen, where they've done nothing but presuppose. Brian Simmons has written two pieces that he had to delete before he had to wipe the egg off his face. Another one where he even insinuated that my name wasn't Phil Nason's. These guys are a joke, and you're promoting them. As far as the desert pastor is concerned, as long as he stays anonymous, how am I harming him? How did I slander him exactly? By saying he misrepresents people? He does. Okay? He does. It's amazing that you didn't say anything about this back in July. But then that's okay. And then he goes on and he says, you even asked me to work this out like brothers. Work what out, Phil? Your beef is with Simmons and Edwards, and you're trying to drag me into it. No, I'm not trying to drag you into it. I'm trying to get you to back up your charge that I endorse Kenneth Copeland. And to let you know who your boys are that you're allowing to post on your site. Sorry. And then he goes on to say, I washed my hands of you long ago. I don't have time to play those high school games. If you, Simmons and Edwards, want to continue this elsewhere, then so be it, but this is not the venue for it. I don't want to fight with those two at all anyway. Those two are finished. And you're the one that promoted them on your site, allowing them to comment and to talk about me in a thread that wasn't about me. Yeah. This gave you the opportunity to take your little shots. And you have. But you're wrong. I didn't endorse Kenneth Copeland. I didn't say they were true believers in Christ, and now you've got people on your site believing that. That, my friend, is endorsing and sponsoring libel. You're promoting it. Libel against me. And then he says, I don't have time to play these high school games. What is it that DEFCON plays? High school games. Anonymous rock throwers. The Desert Pastor. The Pilgrim. Four-pointer. Yeah, who are you people? I already asked the Pilgrim who he was and who he was accountable to, and he won't respond. See? Who's playing the high school game now? And that's what we dealt with these people. But like I said, I appreciate him writing out the post. And the bottom line is if anyone thinks that I endorsed Kenneth Copeland or claim that they're true Christians, you're either obtuse, blind and deaf, or purposely deceptive. That probably is going to wrap this up for me. And one other thing, by the way, I do really believe Coram Deo is a great writer. The problem is he's anonymous. That's a problem I always have had with them. That's the biggest problem I have with them. They have no accountability. We tried to hold the Pilgrim accountable, and he refuses to respond. That's who these people are. That ain't Christian. We followed the Matthew 18 process. I took another ordained elder with me, and he balked and ran to his blog. He was afraid to tell us who he was. That's a shame. But that's who they are. They prefer to be anonymous rock throwers
than to be serious Christians and identify themselves when making accusations against others. That's who we have, and that's why I've taken that stand against anonymous bloggers, and now they're promoting libel against me. It's hilarious, you know, but so be it. Go ahead. The proof is out there if anyone wants to listen. And that's about all I have to say, and I hope I don't have to address these guys again, these Pharisees and these non-Christian like Roderick Edwards and Brian Simmons. I can't deal with these people anymore. I have very thick skin. I don't need to hang up my tennis racket or whatever else. My racket is sound. Come on over and test it anytime you want. Test my game anytime you want. It's all on you. All right. That wraps this up for this special edition of the Theology Today podcast. I thank you very much for putting up with my ramblings and my pretending to have having fake announcers and taking those breaks. Thanks for putting up with that. We'll be back next week. We'll be talking about Easter in Corfu. You won't want to miss that. It'll be fun, and it'll be edifying as I talk to some people that God has worked great things in their lives. I hope to, anyway, if I can find somebody. All right. Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye-bye.